What's up? I'll give you a pass. That was okay. That wasn't too bad. I can't expect a whole lot. I mean, it's not like we're excited to be in church or anything. We're not excited. I'm gonna leave you guys alone. I could put you on like the Jesus guilt trip. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not like Jesus was, you know, excited about saving our lives and not sending us to hell or anything. You guys aren't excited to be here. That's okay. That's fine. But I'm not gonna do that to you. I mean, I kind of just did, but I'm not gonna do it to you any further. This week, we're gonna continue our series called One Another, and if you've missed any of it, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of what we talked about up to this point, all 1 week of it. Really, our emphasis for this entire series, which will be the next few weeks leading up to small groups, is just community. We're going to talk about friendships and relationships and accountability and all of the things that community enables us to do and the reason it's so important. And I kind of, for me, this whole concept was really, the importance of it was driven home to me this week because there were a lot of things that happened. Matter of fact, we showed up last week, and Keelan is the king of news. Like, so if you ever want to know what's going on in the world, our sound guy will tell you exactly like what all of the latest breaking news is. So as soon as we get here, he tells me about there was an accident at a racetrack. Y'all hear about that this week? A guy got out of a race car like a goob. Not a good idea. Ends up getting hit by another car. And he died, like just boom, gone. And he's 20 years old, just crazy, crazy. And then, of course, you know, Monday rolls around and you hear about Robin Williams and everything, and you've surely heard about that. And apparently just a, you know, really, really, I know he struggled with, you know, abuse issues and stuff like that and depression over the years. And so you hear about him taking his own life. And then there was a guy that I went to school with. I always talk about New Diana, but I actually went to White Oak before I went to New Diana. I don't know if that's any better. I'm not sure. I don't know if that gives me any more credence with you guys. Apparently it does not. But anyway, there was a guy that I went to school with, 32 years old. I'm 32, he's 32, and he died this week. And it's just crazy. You think about all of this stuff, and to me it really emphasizes the importance of community. It's like people that lose somebody that they shouldn't have lost, 20 years old or 32 years old, how do you process that? How do you deal with that? And I think you do it with community. I think that is a huge, huge component of being able to process and deal with stuff like that. And then the whole, and look, Daniel is, he talked to our volunteers this morning about depression, did a phenomenal job. And so we don't ever want to just make people assume that there's nothing, I mean, you can't be depressed and you can't have problems. Because a lot of times in Christianity, it's like you got to fake it till you make it. Like you kind of got to put on this front like nothing's ever wrong. And that's not reality. That's not the truth. But I just wonder if in the situation with Robin Williams, if he had somebody in his life that really, really loved him for who he was and he didn't feel like he had to impress anybody you just don't know. If maybe there were some real, genuine community, if things could have been differently, if he could have talked to somebody and talked through some of the stuff, you just don't know. But for me, I'm like, man, community could have at least possibly, potentially, maybe made a difference. And it's that important. So that's kind of a very long setup for today. What we're going to talk about today, that was a generality. Let's get specific. We're going to talk about, again, this whole thing centers or hinges on this phrase you find in the New Testament. It's usually preceded by a command. It says something about one another, and it says, bear with one another, pray for one another, love one another. And so what we're going to talk about today is probably one of the most important things to make any relationship work, and that's bearing with one another. Because here's the deal. You know, at least you should know by this point, to make any relationship work, you have to be patient with each other. And if you're married, you just said, yes. Oh, Shelly, that was you. That's my wife. I don't know. Maybe she knows better than others that in order to make relationships work, you got to be patient with people. You got to bear with people. Sometimes you just got to deal with some of the personality characteristics or flaws or whatever it is that they've got in order to make that relationship work and make it healthy and all of that stuff. And so what we're going to talk about today is just this whole patience thing and bearing with one another and what it looks like and why it's so important. And so let me just kind of, you know, maybe for those of you that are naive and think that, you know, you have the greatest relationship in the world. And how many, you know, it's kind of like the honeymoon syndrome or the newlywed syndrome where everything is awesome and nothing could ever possibly go wrong. And then you come back from your honeymoon and you realize, you know, Mr. Right ain't always right. If you haven't figured that out, you will. And the dude, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave it alone. But just here's the deal. Like, every relationship, there's going to be conflict in every relationship. It's not always going to be just perfect and easy. You don't always agree with people. You don't always agree with the things they say. You don't always agree with the things they do. And when they do something that bugs you or irritates you or irks you, then you have to choose to be patient toward them. So every relationship is going to have conflict, and patience is the key to working through that conflict. How many of you know there are people in our life that just get under our skin? Like, man, that's probably the greatest response I've ever gotten from you guys. So let's just bash them. Let's talk about them. We're not going to do that. But there are people in our lives that are part of our lives, and maybe you really love them, and maybe they're, I don't know, related, and you can't get away from them. Whatever the case is, there are people in our lives that just, they have a way. They know what buttons to push. They know the things to say. They know the things to do to irritate us and get under our skin. And so in order to make those relationships work, we have to be patient with those people. Maybe you got a parent that just does that to you. They just know what to do or what to say. Maybe you got a sibling, brothers or sisters, right? Maybe you, dang, somebody just got called out. Maybe you got kids that just, come on somebody. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you've got a coworker or somebody that, you know, in the office next to you that's just hideous, or, you know, they just won't leave you alone. I don't know what the case is. Not hideous as in ugly, but in their actions and attitudes toward you. Hello. Jeez. And so whatever the case is, like, we've got people, every one of us, I'm sure, have people in our life that are part of our life that we, you know, we're not trying to get rid of. We're not trying to, you know, extract them from our life, but we have to learn to deal with them, and dealing with them requires patience. You know, the Bible says, it says a lot of really good things about this, and it gives us some really clear direction that patience is supposed to be part of our relationships. It's supposed to be part of our lives, and thus in our relationships. It's, you know, it would be no different than Jesus, you know, when he said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Like, the byproduct of that is that you actually love people, right? Love is in your relationships because you have love. Patience is in our relationships because we have patience. I think y'all get that. But what it does, it gives us some really clear direction as to, you know, the fact that we're supposed to have patience in our relationships and in our lives and all of that stuff. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't really kind of say, I guess it doesn't outline necessarily that all of the responsibility to do this is on you. It's your responsibility to do something with this whole notion of patience. And I think that leads us to our first point, which is you have to choose patience. It's a choice. Just like, man, I hear so many people today, like, this is the world that we live in. I just don't love him anymore, right? And I'm not talking about junior high relationships, because you never loved him anyway, right? You loved him as much as you loved that new pair of shoes. Like, that's not love. I'm talking about marriages that fall apart, or people that get divorced, or people that go their separate ways because they're not in love anymore. And I'm like, love is a choice. You choose to love somebody in spite of anything that they have that maybe you don't necessarily agree with, or in spite of whatever it is. Like, dude, they could drive you freaking nuts, and you can still choose to love them. And what that does is it creates this opportunity for them to love you back, and love grows as you choose to continue to love. But we're not going to talk about that. We'll save that for our Love Handles series. I'm excited. We're going to do that one day. It's going to happen. Give me 2 months, and we'll do it, okay? Mark it on the calendars. But bearing with one another, like, being patient toward one another, is a choice that we have to intentionally make over and over and over. Because it's not just a one-time thing. It's not like you just wake up one day and you're like, hey, I'm a patient person, and I'm going to bear with everybody I meet. And that's it. Like, it's a blanket, you know, statement that you make toward yourself, and everybody is awesome all of the time. Right? This isn't the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. It didn't really do the disco thing, but I did. And so this lifestyle, this choice to be patient, is reinforced every time that we actually show patience to people, and we bear with people, and we tolerate some of their stupidity because they tolerate our stupidity. And so when people do things that we don't like, or they say things that irk us, we choose to be patient toward them. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Man, this is so good. And this is what it says. And it, again, obviously, this is all about patience and bearing with one another. It says, so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, And then it says this little phrase, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And so you can close your Bibles and go home. Because that's it. I mean, that's it. You choose to be patient. You choose. I love the language, and I think it's really important the way that, it says what it says. It doesn't just say, hey, be patient. And we're all like, well, that stinks. Because you know what happens when you ask for patience? Like, all hell breaks loose. Right? Have you ever, like, God, just make me a better person and more patient. And then, like, the next thing you know, like, everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong because God's teaching you patience, right? Maybe it's not quite that bad, but I think it is. I think it is. But I think this, the way that it says what it says is really important. It says to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. You put it on. How many of you guys, you get dressed in the morning? Obviously, we're all here and we're all dressed. Praise the Lord. Right? So that's a good thing. So you put on, just like you put on clothes in the morning, you gotta choose, just like you choose to get dressed before you go to work. And even what you choose to wear, you decide what you're going to look like for the day. You decide how you're going to present yourself for the day. So you choose to put on the clothes that you put on. You can either look dapper or you can look frumpy. Right? Like, you can look like $1 million or you can look like somebody needs to give you $1 million. You can be dressed to the nines, or you know, we can go on for days. Like, this is just too much fun. I have a fashion problem. Well, one that I would like to address. I don't have one. Shelly buys my clothes and dresses me, so that's okay. We're good. But I have a problem with the way that some people, I don't know what there is a trend today, and if you do it, I apologize. I just don't understand it. I'm speaking from a place of ignorance because I don't understand. I can't understand why females, like, especially, you know, kind of younger girls, wear like XXL t-shirts that go to their cankles or ankles. And then they wear shorts that are like showing their butt cheek. I mean, not that you could see it, thank God, because they're wearing clothes, t-shirts that go to their ankles, right? Like, I'm like, did you steal your daddy's nightgown? Because I can't figure out what's going on. And so, again, maybe I don't understand. So it's just a question. I'm not ragging on anybody. I just don't get it. I don't know. To each his own, I suppose. But you shouldn't. So I think this language in this verse, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, it's really, really important. And one of the things, we're going to talk about this a little bit further along in this series, but at the end it says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And so we're going to talk about how forgiveness is, man, look, here's the deal. People are going to wrong you. People are going to say things that make you feel inadequate or a failure or whatever it is, or just maybe you just don't feel it, or you know what I'm saying. Like, you're going to have difficulty in your relationship, and so you have to choose, just like you choose to be patient with them, you have to choose to forgive them and not allow anything that goes or happens in your relationship to drive a wedge between you guys or girls or guy and girl or whatever it is. Like, that's what's so cool about this, and I guess really important, is that it's not just friendships and it's not just marriages, and it's every relationship. Every single relationship that you have requires patience. And so, kind of to correlate the two, we talked about putting on your clothes and putting on patience. Are you going to put on patience when you wake up in the morning and choose? Because here's the deal. It really is a choice. And so you have to choose. Are you going to put on patience for the day and say, you know what, people may irritate me, people may bug me, people may not know, they don't know how to drive, and good Lord, they get my blood pressure. I pulled in Wingstop the other day. It was time for some wings. I let my daughter choose. I didn't actually pick them, but I was so happy she did. So we pulled in, and this lady, God bless her, like she stopped right in the middle of the road. Like, I mean, stopped. Right in the middle of the road. And so I'm patient for about 10 seconds. And then I'm like, honk. I didn't actually. I did the friendly honk, like, you know, like real quick. If you're a jerk, you lay on it, right? You're like, honk. I'm just like, you know. And she still didn't move. And so I don't know. I got a new car. It's got a V8. I'm like, whoa, flew around her. Felt like a man. It was awesome. And I didn't really show a whole lot of patience to that lady. And my daughter was sitting beside me. I'm like, well, I just screwed that one up, right? Because now she thinks that that's how I'm supposed to drive. You know, somebody gets in your way, let's go. So we have to choose to be patient, even with people that don't know how to drive. And I question whether or not they have a real valid driver's license. And I know this sounds like, man, this sounds like a really gross oversimplification, but it's not. It really is that simple. It's something that we can predetermine to do, to be patient with people, and do a pretty good job of it most of the time. That's not to say that you know, you don't mess up, you don't have a situation that kind of catches you off guard and you lose patience or something. I mean, but all in all, for the most part, we choose to be patient with people. And in order to bear with one another, we have to choose to not allow their wrongs to drive a wedge in our relationship. Like we said, we choose to forgive them just like we expect them to forgive us. Have you noticed that we're really bad about that? Like, we're heavy-handed when it comes to expectations of other people forgiving us, but we're really slow to forgive other people. And if we would just give others the same grace that we expect from them, it would make our relationships that much better. And bearing with one another is a huge part of that. Like I said, we're going to talk about this whole forgiveness thing more further down the road. Not this week, because I'm not going to do that to you, because we'd be here. You guys packed your lunch pail, right? We talked about that. I told you last week, bring a lunch pail. We're going to work. So this is the second part of it. I think part of understanding this whole, you know, patience and bearing with one another is just really understanding exactly what that means. And so you got to understand that there's a choice sometimes to tolerate and to celebrate, and sometimes you can't do both. Sometimes, look, I love the fact that we have friendships that we can celebrate and people that we really love and we love to be around, and they bring us great joy, and hopefully we bring them great joy. But there's also times in life where you just got to tolerate people. And I think knowing that ahead of time and kind of understanding that part of bearing with one another, that simply means that you just bear with them. Like the whole expression means that there's kind of a suffering that goes on, or pain that goes on, or endurance, kind of bearing with them and their difficulties and their difficult personality and all of those things. It doesn't mean, I think sometimes we misconceive being patient with somebody as like that, you know, that one lady that's just like loves everybody, and she's just like, right? Never gets mad, like never bothered by anything anyone says. She probably has like 13 kids and loves them all and spends quality time with every one of them. And you're like, how do you live, right? Like we know somebody, I mean, you know, that's probably a bit of an exaggeration, maybe. I think about, remember, do you guys, of course y'all saw the 19 kids and counting, like the Duggar mom, she's just like, so happy and patient with everybody. And I'm like, what's wrong with you, you alien? It's not right. And I think sometimes we kind of misconceive patience to be something like that. Like we just have to be giddy with excitement about everybody around us. Like, oh, I just love you. Actually, I don't right now. You know, sometimes I celebrate you and other times I tolerate you. And we think that means that nothing they could ever say or do would ever bother us. And that's just not true, right? Like, I think we're all smart enough to know that that's not true. Sometimes we have to tolerate people as opposed to celebrate people. Our relationships aren't always going to be sunshine and dandelions, sweetheart, right? If you didn't know that, now you know. Coming back to the verse that we looked at earlier in Colossians chapter 3, it says to bear with one another. It says put on kindness, compassion, humility, and all of those things, and patience. And then it says to bear with one another. The word bear right there, B-E-A-R, is not like a teddy bear, right? It means to hold up, to hold one's self erect and firm, to sustain, to bear, to endure. And so I think, here's the deal. How many of you guys have ever, like, you've gone out for a jog or a run and you just feel like you're about to die? And so the goal, obviously, is to build up endurance so that you can keep on keeping on, and you can keep running, you can run a little bit further. And so I think in our relationships, sometimes it's like that. There are times where we're just ready to quit. Like, and we're ready to, man, I've had enough of you, I'm going to get some water, right? Just same way we feel about our runs. Or it's too hot, you're getting on my nerves, I'm out of here, right? And so I think in our relationships, it's not much different. Sometimes we have to endure our relationships, we have to endure our friendships, we have to endure personalities, you have to bear with one another. I think just even the word itself just indicates that you wouldn't be patient with somebody if they never bothered you. That's not patience. That's just, it is, right? Just is what it is. There wouldn't be any bearing with one another if there weren't something to bear with, if there wasn't something about them that bugged you or something they say that irritated you, or you guys get what I'm saying. Any of that stuff, there wouldn't be any need for patience if they didn't ever do anything that required patience from you. And so I think just being honest and upfront about this helps us to better live it out. Knowing that there will be conflict helps us to deal with it when it happens. Because if you're not expecting conflict, then you're like, where'd that come from? You ever done that?
Good.
Romans chapter 12, verse 18. This is one of my favorite verses. I don't know why. It's just like really short, and it's kind of like, yeah, in your face. I don't know if it really is, but it is to me. It says, if it is possible. I think it is. Let me kind of set myself up here. I think it's like that because it kind of flies in the face of the way that a lot of people present Christianity. Like Christianity is presented, you know, you're supposed to be, once you come to Jesus and come to church and you make your, you're going to have a permagrin, right? You're going to be perfect and happy and nothing will ever go wrong and everybody's going to love you, even though they killed Jesus, but everybody's going to love you because you're better than him, right? Like, that's just not reality. It's not the truth. And this verse kind of, it sets the record straight, especially with regards to our relationships. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Like, have patience in all of your relationships. If it's possible, which probably means that it's not possible. There are some people that you're just not going to be BFFs with, right? Like there are some people that's just not going to be, they're not good. They're no good for you, right? There are some people that just aren't any good for you. And so what you need to do is just know up front and then choose to tolerate them. You don't have to celebrate them. You don't have to let them get super close to you. I think so many people make stupid decisions and choices with their friendships. And that's a really, really dangerous thing because you guys have heard the quote, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Hey, like Dave Ramsey, one of the smartest guys I know, he talks about money and finances and all of that stuff, but this is what he said kind of about this. He said, you'll be the exact same person you are today in 10 years except for the people you meet and the books you read. So the people that you do life with and engage with and are in community with, they are the ones that are going to help you get to where you want to go. So if they're not where you want to go, you don't need to be with them. And so anyway, that was completely free. But you can mail a check too. I'm just kidding. You just, here's the deal, like you're not going to get along with everybody. It's just not like that. So sometimes you have to choose to be patient with them, to tolerate them. You don't have to agree with everything they say or do. Like that's not reality. You have a brain and you're supposed to use it. You formulate your own opinions and way that you perceive things. And if they see it differently, that's fine. Tolerate their differences. Tolerate whatever it is that you've got between you guys. And specifically within Christianity, like I was reading an article the other day between the difference between open theology and reformed theology and Calvinism and Arminianism. And these people just go back and forth. And they're like, bah, 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 bah. I'm like, we're on the same team. Like even if you have just slight differences in your theology, like we're still all under the banner of the cross of Christ. I don't know. It's really important that we get that. And so the one another is specifically about church, community, people who are part of this Christian thing. So that's what this whole thing hinges on, is being patient with each other. Tolerating one another, even if they irritate you, even if they bug you, even if it's like that crazy aunt that just, she has a way, right, of getting under your skin. If you can't celebrate them, choose to tolerate them. Obviously, celebrate would be our first option, right? We want to celebrate people. We want to find the good in them and emphasize that and help them become all that they can be, like the army, right? But there comes a point where certain people where you just can't do that and you have to tolerate them. That's what bearing with them is all about. I want to wrap up. I want to talk about this one is so important. I wanted to start with this, but I was like, maybe it's better to end with this. And it's called, I guess my little sub point is relational mirror. I was thinking about that song. I don't listen to stupid music like this, but this one's so catchy and I hear it in McAllister's all the time. It's the one about, it's like in my mirror. And I just feel it, man. I'm like, Yeah, somebody got a lighter? I was waiting for a little better response than that. But you know, our relationship with God is mirrored or reflected in every relationship we have with other people. And I think sometimes we fail to realize that. Like, our relationships with each other is a mirror of our relationship with God. I heard somebody say it like this one time. It says, our relationship with God is reflected in every other relationship that we have. And I feel like that's probably founded in, you know, the book in 1 John, or the book 1 John, where Jesus, you know, I guess, who wrote it? John. Good idea, right? 1 John. But this whole idea that it says, how can you say that you love God if you don't love people that are around you? It's like, how can you say that you love God who you can't see when you don't love the people that you actually do see? And so I think the fact that if we have love, then we're going to love the people around us. And that's a mirror. It reflects the fact that we love God. We love God, so we reflect that love onto other people. You guys get that? And so I think this whole idea, kind of coming back to patience, our ability to exhibit patience to other people really comes from our relationship with God. Our source and strength of patience and how much patience we have comes from God and our ability to give that to other people. It starts with Him. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. This is one of those really cool and powerful verses, and it says, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things." Like this, it all starts for us as Jesus people or Christians or followers of Jesus, whatever you want to call us, like whatever the new trendy topic or title we get is, whatever you are, if you're trying to pursue Jesus with your life, everything about you starts with Him. There's another verse that says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things." Everything about your life, everything that you want to be, everything that you aspire to do should start with your relationship with God. And so I think coming back to this idea of us supposed to be, or our, you know, the fact that we're supposed to exhibit patience to one another, we're supposed to bear with one another, that all starts with our relationship with God. I know that, here's the deal, I'll just be honest with you guys. I've seen this personal, like I've seen this so clear, black and white. When I'm spending quality time developing my relationship with God, I'm a lot more patient with people. Like that's just the absolute truth. If I have a day where I don't really, really spend time with God and somebody says something, I'm just a little snarky or short. And I'm like, meh. Right? And man, it's so stupid. Like, because I know what the answer to the problem is, but sometimes we choose to neglect that. And it's crazy that we would do that. But I know for a fact, because of personal experience, you may have your own opinions, but I'm right because I've got my own experience, right? I heard a quote one time that was so good. "The man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument." And so I know for a fact for me that patience and my ability to have patience with somebody else is rooted in my relationship and the depth of my relationship with God. And so I think it's really important that we get the first things first, because our relationships here are just a mirror of our relationship here. And there's a lot of difficulty in freedom in this idea. It's like, oh, God will just give me patience to deal with everybody, right? Like, that's kind of a big deal, and it's kind of, there's a lot of weight to that, but there's also a lot of freedom in that, because it takes the responsibility off of you. You don't have to operate in your own strength and your own ability, like, which is so finite. The freeing aspect of this is that God doesn't give us a task and not give us the tools to accomplish the task. It's like, how many of you guys have seen Evan Almighty, right? It's pretty good. It's funny. Hilarious, actually. This is funny. Speaking of funny and hilarious, my son, he's 8. He's a ham. Like, just, he thinks he's the funniest thing on the planet. And so he was talking to Shelly the other day, and he was like, "Hey, Mom, you keep saying I'm funny. Stop saying I'm funny. I'm hilarious." Okay. Yes, sir. As you wish. But, you know, in the movie, Evan Almighty, it's like, if you haven't seen it, basically Morgan Freeman is God. Pretty cool. He's got a great voice for God. I don't know. It works. And so, anyway, he tells Evan Almighty to build an ark just like Noah. And he kind of along the way just gives him tools and things that he needs to do what it is that he's told him to do. And I think the same thing, obviously that's fiction and we know that, right? We're not stupid. But we know that the things that God has tasked for us to do and the plans that He has for us, He also equips us to do them. And so if He tells us to be patient with people, then he's going to give us the ability to do that. And so I think it's coming back to this whole, it's not our responsibility. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you find the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not your fruit. Like, it's not things that are produced by you working really hard and things that you get because you love God so much and things that are in you, these characteristics or traits that you have because you're just awesome. It's God's fruit that He gives to us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, it says it like this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so what is so cool about this is that God has asked us, He's told us to bear with one another, to tolerate people, to have patience toward other people. But he's also given us the ability to do that if we tap into it. If you develop your relationship with God, that's going to be reflected onto your other relationships. Like, I love coming back to that whole idea in 1 John 4:4. Like, if you really love God, you're not going to hate people. Or you shouldn't. I mean, it seems kind of obvious to me that that's not, hey, I spent 3 hours in prayer, you go to hell. Right? It's just not the way that it goes. Or, I mean, the way that I understand it to be, that's not the way that it is. You know, the people that Jesus disliked the most were people that acted like that, people who acted really spiritual, like they have this great relationship with God, the Pharisees, but then they were really kind of prideful and arrogant toward people. And Jesus did not like those people. Like, just go read Matthew chapter 23, and you'll see exactly how Jesus feels about the Pharisees. You're probably not going to do it, but if you do, you know what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 23 is good stuff. And so I think it's just really important to get this, man. We have to be patient toward each other, and the ability to do that comes from our relationship with God, and then we choose to do it. So this morning, I just want to close kind of by reiterating the need that we have for patience in our relationships. Your relationship is not going to be everything that it needs to be, or you're not going to have a relationship that is reflecting to the world around you that there's this God that offers hope and peace and love if you have no peace and hope and patience and love toward each other, right? Could you imagine, I'll just use Shelly and I as an example. Say that we've got friends that we're inviting to church and we want them to, we talk this whole Christian thing up and we're like, oh, God is so good. And then we invite them over for dinner because food is great, right? And we invite them over for dinner, and Shelly cooks a great meal. Maybe I fix some steak. And steak and macaroni and cheese is the greatest meal on the face of the planet. So Shelly makes some gourmet mac and cheese, and I cook some steaks on the grill, right? We invite these people over, and we've been telling them about how much God loves them, and you know, we're pastors, and God is awesome, and all this stuff. And they get over, and Shelly and I just get into a knockdown drag out. Like, you know, yelling at each other, no patience with each other. You're so stupid, is what she would say to me. And as she picks up the pan and she chunks it, there goes the gourmet mac and cheese. It's on, because you just spilt the gourmet mac and cheese. Now I'm mad. I have no patience for you, and I'm coming at you, bruh. I know that sounds completely ridiculous, but I would be mad if you dropped the mac and cheese. But how do you think that reflects to the people that we're supposed to be showing the love of God to? They're like, no, like, you tripping, right? And so I just think it's important that we get this. It's important for us to reflect bearing with one another and patience toward one another so that other people see, man, because it's just a reflection of God. And so we have to do that. Don't run from conflict. Resolve it by being patient with each other and bearing with one another. Forgive when you need to forgive. Just like you expect them to forgive you, you choose to forgive. Tolerate when you can't celebrate, try to celebrate. Like, try to do that as kind of the first, you know, line of defense. But if you just absolutely cannot celebrate them, then tolerate them. Be patient with them and choose patience. Like, it's a choice, and we get to choose if we want to live this thing out or not. We get to choose what we put on for the day. Amen? Let me pray for us, and then we'll bounce. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you that everything that you've asked us to do, God, you've exhibited and you've given us the strength to do. God, that you've given us patience as a fruit of the Spirit and living by the Spirit and trying to pursue you and developing our relationship with you. God, I pray that you would just help us to understand that we've got to get the first things first, that being right with you and pursuing you with our lives and giving you the place of prominence that you deserve in our lives will give us a greater ability to be patient with each other and bear with one another. God, I pray that we would choose patience. God, that we would wake up every day and just like we choose to put on the clothes that we choose to put on, that we would choose to be patient toward each other. We would choose to be patient with our spouses and our friends and our children. And God, that we would choose to be patient with coworkers or people that just have a way of getting under our skin. God, that you would help us to be patient toward them, that we would choose patience, that we would tolerate, God, when we can't celebrate, and that we would ultimately just reflect you well and the love that you have for us and the patience that you have toward us, that we would do the same for other people. God, I ask that you would just help us to do all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.